Our gospel today is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, which would be about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, or said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true and trustworthy and so well preserved for so many generations. Pray you would speak to us even more as we ponder it in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. If these business practices were to be employed today, then we would be having a very, very interesting experience. Imagine if someone found out they only had to go to work 1 hour to get paid for a full day's wage. Everything would be messed up. Nobody would be going to work. But this is a parable, not about earthly practices in that sense, but it's a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And often when we look closely at what God does, it's very surprising and very much a blessing. One of the first things we hear about is this harvest. The harvest isn't spoken about directly, but we know there's a vineyard, and we know that there's a landowner, and he's going out and he's getting people to go work in the vineyard. A number of times in the Bible, we hear about the vineyard being compared to Israel or God's people. We hear about it in the Old Testament, whether it be in Isaiah or Jeremiah. We also hear about in Matthew chapter 21. The vineyard typically represents the things that God is doing in his kingdom. Well, the harvest, we know, is very important. The harvest is on the mind of a lot of people right now, a lot of farmers in the area here, thinking, you know, praying for conditions to be right, for things to go well, you know, weather to be favorable, things not to break down. They're looking forward to that because they've been taking care of the crop all this time, and now it's almost harvest time. Harvest is important. We know that God speaks about harvest with human beings, you know, in terms of souls, people coming to know him. Jesus said about the harvest, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The idea that the harvest is plentiful, but there has to be workers too. So we've got this landowner, and there's a harvest happening, and he goes out to look for workers. And laborers are definitely needed. They're needed quite badly, because we hear that he goes at early in the morning, 6 o'clock about. And then not only does he go at 6, but he goes again at 9 in the morning, and then he goes at noon, and then he goes at 3, and then he goes at 5. There must be a very plentiful harvest, but workers are needed. I don't know why, you know, you can think, why did he just hire everybody all at once? Well, they weren't out there. Maybe they slept in, you know, I don't know. For whatever reason, they weren't there, but they were just staying around waiting to get hired, because that was the place to get hired. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into a harvest field. The master of the house diligently searched 3 hours apart, and then again, he did it again at 5 about. Can you imagine hiring someone for like 1 hour? It's better than nothing, right? I remember living next to a neighbor, one of the places we lived, and he was a hard worker, and he was independent. He would lay tile, and not tile around here like in fields, but he just did it like in McDonald's and different places like that. And he was a hard worker, and I remember him saying, well, I got another job, and he mentioned the job where he was at, and I said, well, great, you know. And he just voluntarily said, it's not going to make me a lot, you know, but the thing is that it's work, and also it's better than nothing. So this master is going out and getting all kinds of workers, different times, to work in the vineyard. He mentions idleness to the ones who were hired at the 5th hour before they were hired. You know, he asked, you know, let me find that right verse here. In Matthew 20. He says, why have you been standing here idle all day long? Why? And they said, well, no one's hired us. It was a big town. He got all the people who could fit in his vehicle. I don't know. But the thing is, idleness is not looked highly upon. People should be working in this sense. Now, hear this from 1 Timothy 5:11. For we hear that some of you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. And then another 2 verses later, besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Idleness is not a good thing, we hear in Scripture. And also we know, for you yourselves know you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. From 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So people wanted work. These people did. And they were hired to go out into this vineyard. They were sent, actually, hired and sent. This landowner, this vineyard owner, sent them. They couldn't just go, but they were sent. One thing we learn about this landowner is that he is very generous. Very generous. I remember a play one time that I saw done in the church, and it was a play where the couple was sitting in their house, and then somebody had, while they saw someone walking from the through their window, walking up to the front of the place, and they walked up, it was a man, walked up and knocked on the door, and they go, who could that be? And he came, and he said, hello, and he said his name. I says, I have here a check for, I don't remember the amount, but $1,200. Here you go, it's yours. Do with it as you see fit. And they were shocked. Wow, you know, we don't deserve this. You know, why are you giving it to us? And he just turned around and walked away. He came again the next week. Same thing. Hey, here comes that man again. Here he comes. Oh, you think he's going to give us another check? And they go, I don't know. Let's see. And knock, knock, knock. They open the door. Hi, do you want to come in? He says, nope. But here you go. Here's a check for $1,200. Here you go. And he said, well, thank you. Wow, great. And then this went on for weeks, weeks. And then finally, they were expecting the check, and they thought that they deserved the check. And he comes up again to the door, knock, knock, knock. Here you go. Here's a check for you. Well, thank you. No, they didn't say thank you this time. My apologies. They didn't say thank you. They said, okay. They just took it. They used it, and they planned their whole budget around all this extra money coming in, and they're looking to build a new house and all kinds of things. And then next week comes along, and they see this man walking by their house. Where's he going? He missed our house. What? He's going to the neighbor's house. Oh, no. He's knocking on their door. He gave them the check. And they were mad. That wasn't fair. They deserved that. Very similar to our lesson today. People expect to get something after. First, maybe they're thankful, but then all of a sudden they're not. And they think that they deserve it, when actually it was just a gift given to them. It was a very humorous skit. A reminder to us. It's easy to see other people. It's easy to see ourselves receiving generous things, you know, after we get used to it. But when somebody else gets it, we don't think they deserve it, then it's a little bit harder. Grace is hard to understand. Grace is foreign. And this landowner is very gracious. When I say that grace is foreign, it's like it doesn't come easy. It's not natural to us. It's not an ordinary human being thing. Grace. It's something that comes from God. Grace doesn't seem fair. As small children, we all know what fairness is. We know what equal sides are. We know what slices of dessert should be, how big they should be. We know the rules when people break the rules. And when we think that we deserve something more than somebody else, it's hard for us to understand grace, because grace isn't about deserving. Grace is extravagantly generous. God's generosity is evident in this man that we hear who is a landowner, who represents, I think, God in many ways. Grace is understood in heaven, but I think it's rarely understood on earth. Grace is very difficult to see given to others, but easy when it's given to us. Grace is surprising, and it's often scandalous. It causes people to stumble over it because they think it's about deserving and so on. I remember one retreat having gone to one time, some of the talks talked about how grace is undeserved. You know, it's unmerited. It's unearned. And I also say it's very hard to understand. It reminds me of Isaiah 55 when he wrote this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Grace is acceptable when it's shown to me, but questionable when it's shown to others. And that's kind of what happened here. We look at it from human eyes. You know, grace is best understood by those who know they don't deserve it. You know what I mean? Best understood by those who know they don't deserve it. Well, this landowner, he is very generous. When we take a look at the text here, we hear this exchange, that those people who had worked the longest thought that they deserved more because they're the ones who worked hard under the burden and also the heat of the day. They got that. We should definitely get more. But they forgot what they had agreed to. They'd agreed to a denarius a day, a day's wage. Everybody else didn't get that. They weren't told that. They said, "I'll pay you what's fair or what's right." So the owner says, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you." That's generous. "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money?" And of course, yeah, he does. "Or are you envious because I am generous? the Greek there's like, do you have an evil eye? An evil eye, you know, because I'm generous. And then he says, Jesus says, sums it up, so last will be first, and the first will be last. You know, I've often thought, you know, I wonder what heaven's going to look like. I wonder, you know, I have no clue, but I know God's there, Jesus is there, I know that there's no more sin, but I wonder what it looks like. You know, like, he talks about rewards in the Bible, and it talks about surprises. And we have surprise in this parable here. And you wonder, these people, even like babies who have been aborted, only would be saved by the grace of Jesus, you know, because of his sacrifice. And babies who die before they're born, or babies who die after they're born, people who die young, or, you know, those who are saved by Jesus. You know, the structure of heaven, I suspect, is going to be surprising. And we might think, oh, Billy Graham's going to be way up there, you know. But what about the woman or the man who's praying and praying and praying? When people pray, God answers. What about children with Down syndrome? You know, we don't think that they're very smart here. Sure loving, sure smiling. But you know, there's going to be a lot of surprises. I don't know what it's going to be like for sure, but I know that God will be fair, and also that God will be very, very generous. Grace is best understood by those who know they don't deserve it. One of the things I get out of this last part of this parable is the idea of that we are to be encouraged when we encounter God's grace for us or for other people. And not to be envious. The generous owner of this vineyard said, regarding his own generosity, you know, didn't he have the right to do what he wanted with his own money? He calls this man friend. He doesn't say, hey, you whiner. Hey, you wimp. Hey, you tired worker. He calls him friend, friend. And God is very generous. We shouldn't measure our worth by comparing our accomplishments and sacrifices to other people. When it comes down to it, it's God's generosity that gets us anywhere. You think you're able to do things? Sure you're, but you know, I think of that other parable that says, well done, good and faithful servant, but another parable where it says, I've only done what I was supposed to do. You know? God is very, very, very generous. And the harvest is so important. Souls are important. We certainly don't want to be idle. We want to be working for God, whatever He wants us to do. Laborers are needed. Important harvest and laborers are needed. And we have a very generous God, a very generous landowner who owns everything. And He surprises us with His generosity. It's so important to be able to say, thank you, God, for your generosity to them, for your grace for them too. Because they really need it. We all need it. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we earn. But it's something that God freely gives to all who would receive it. Like it says in the Gospel of John. And for that, we can give Him thanks and praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for your extreme generosity. We don't deserve anything, even life, yet you've given us life. We don't deserve forgiveness, but you give us forgiveness by grace through faith in Jesus. We don't deserve work, but you give us opportunity to work, and we pray, Lord, that you will help us to be ready to go whenever you call and to do whatever you say. Help us to serve you and work for you, God, for this harvest of souls. Thank you, God, for your generosity to others and to us. All those who pray in the name of Jesus, amen.